Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that are centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the well-fleshed-out character that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the 2D implausible persona that is...
Kerry Warbis.
And we are joined by the wooden piece of acting who goes by the name of...
Peter Fickling.
And the last part of this week's dronologues, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum is from Fred the Dog, who's owned by Liz CB. That was doing the rounds on the Twitters last week. Many a fan of the Archers was retweeting it, and I thought, why not join the action by retweeting it and nicking it for Dumpty Dum? I had to nick it, Kerry, because we have a problem. Do you want to know what our problem is?
What is it?
Our vault of Dumpty Dums is empty. Cobwebs. I went in it on Monday. I couldn't see nada in there. Cobwebs, moths, everything flew out the vault. So we absolutely need folks to send us in a Dumpty Dum. If they are so minded to do such a thing, Kerry, how can that be done?
Yes, you don't want me getting my recorder out or anything.
I'd love... Listen, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Or I'll get my daughter to do it on the piano, maybe. So, if someone wants to send us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105. Leave us a message on SpeakPipe or send a text message starting with Dum to 077 862 00690. Also, breaking news, entries for the Archers Flower and Produce virtual one should be submitted under the hashtag TheArchersFP for this year's show by the 26th of August. And the categories for this are fruit and veg, flowers, animals, food, arts and crafts. And the judges of this year's show will be Carl Bovis.
He's a nature photographer.
Lovely. Thank you. Sharon Goodyear.
She does incredibly good work. She runs a big charity whose name I forget, but she does worthy things and she's awesome.
Lovely. And the Brummy Archers superfan that is...
Lenny Henry.
No, you're not...
Jasper Carrot.
No, it's none other than our Royfield.
What? Really? Yeah.
And he's bribeable, apparently.
Really corrupt. I've got Trump levels of corruption. Bring on your cakes, money in brown paper bags, all sorts. I can be bought. And I'm quite nakedly honest about it. So just I will abuse my position.
Love.
Come hell or high water.
Thanks to our new social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge for her voices, and to Lucy V. Freeman.
On this week's episode, we hear views from Glyn. Oh, me, I love me some Glyn. The Upper Low East West Side, it's Witherspoon. Brian, we got Cheryl, and we have my new best friend, Sarah Spilsbury from Smethwick, just outside of Birmingham. But first, it's our pressing topic of the week. Mm-hmm. And this week's pressing topic is Linda hurts, Robert feels her pain, and we agonise for them both. Now, Peter, you nominated this as the thing we should talk about, so I'm coming to you first, sir.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think Linda and Robert are sort of unique in The Archers in that they cover the full range and do all of it well. So and there's a couple as well. So there are individual characters like Eddie and, you know, Lillian maybe who can still pull out all the stops. But as a couple, we get the, you know, we get the interaction as well. So you can have the light comedy of Robert fretting over Edmund. Even when Linda's, you know, down at heart in the garden, she's still joking with Monty. And then, you know, minutes later or a couple of episodes later, Linda is writhing in agony in the garden and the acting is still, you're still connecting to it and it's real. And I think, you know, that it sort of... So when she is in pain, when she is lying there, and when Robert is worrying about her, you're truly and deeply connected to them. And I think, you know, I was really quite upset this week before them and genuinely concerned.
What do you reckon, Warburton?
Yeah, I mean, they're a wonderful pair, aren't they? They clearly adore each other. And you believe that about them as well, I think. It was each of them wants to accommodate the other, don't they? They're sort of thinking about the other one, not themselves, which is rather sweet. But if they actually did talk to each other about what's going on properly, if Linda was saying, I'm struggling, Robert would gladly help out. But she's too sort of thinking about him having his own life to allow it and trying to be super strong herself.
Yeah, and that definitely heightened the kind of agony. Because obviously they were so close to having an easy solution. Just one honest conversation about how they both felt about the situation and so much of it could have been cleared up and they could have had a much easier day.
Yeah, it's like most of their agony is worrying about the other person.
Yeah, apart from the actual agony of riding around on the floor with third-degree burns.
True.
And half your scalp missing, yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, the Hot Topic music sounds a bit like Casualty, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one of the great things about this relationship, and we've always been big Robert and Linda fans here at Dum-de-Dum, is it is by far the warmest of, I was going to say by far it's the most warmest of all relationships. I don't know if it is by far, but it is the one which you believe it from every angle. That Robert is devoted to Linda, Linda is devoted to Robert. But there is nuance in that Robert does at times have to gently admonish and chide her, you know, very gently and say, Lindy, you might have overstepped the mark here or there. And she does defer to him. And she has at times said that, you know, she does go about doing things without necessarily thinking of his feelings. But their affection for each other is just writ large in every scene, which made, for me, the scenes post her accident and when she was, you know, in the hospital and the agony that they both felt, Linda, physical, and then the fact that she was hurting the one that she loved through her actions because she was just so angry at being reduced. And then Robert just wanting to help. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, he was infantilizing her and, you know, wasn't allowing her own agency. And I just thought that was just so brilliantly written, so well acted, and just so movingly portrayed.
And yeah. It's his hobby as well. You know, he's a doctor, isn't he?
Mm.
And, you know, it's extraordinarily good actor. When he was getting cross with, sorry, you're going to have to remind me, who is he absolutely furious with?
For calling
at the hospital.
Philip Moss,
yeah. And you know, at the time, obviously, we didn't know that the full depth of
I did.
Philip, sorry, us mere mortals, us tragically lowered piglety creatures, hadn't yet worked out, hadn't tapped into the sublime, you know, the other. That was a different side to Robert, and again, you know, well acted,
and. I think it's so much more pressing because Linda's a powerhouse, isn't she, usually? So this has, like you say, Royfield, reduced her to something she really isn't comfortable being, which is really passive.
She did talk, didn't she, sort of rather movingly about reconciling that and starting to move into a new phase of her life. She was talking about having to go out there and see people and sort of maybe accept that that's how she's going to be seen now. Mm. And this is part of her new life.
And on the surface, you might think that Lindy is super bossy, always in charge. But you're right, Royfield. Sometimes Robert does need to sort of nudge her a bit and she takes the nudging.
And the Freddie plot line as well, prior to the accident. Where Freddie had sort of really put a dent in her confidence or her certainty and sort of shown that her sort of, you know, Occam's razor approach to sort of just solving every problem can sometimes cause others.
Yeah. And also, I'd like to mention her attitude to dealing with pain and contrast that with Adam's.
Yes.
In these episodes. Because she... Yes.
You two have made it very clear online and offline that I am not allowed to defend Adam, but I'm gonna be very brave and say
Feel free to defend the indefensible.
I'm not going to defend him because you two are going to attack him.
You'll be utterly ridiculed, not only by your fellow Dum-de-Dum hosts, but by Archer's fandom on a whole.
Well, you know, I'm arrogant enough to feel I can maybe shoulder that abuse. But even if Adam is not necessarily always putting his best foot forward, he has been rather cruelly juxtaposed throughout the monologues.
Which he'd injured.
No, but it's his luck, isn't it? Well, it's by design, obviously. But you know, from a kind of like, if we're fully immersed in the Archers, it's his luck to be sort of doing his monologues next to Linda. When he's been injured, you know, if it was next to, I don't know, Russ had sort of sprained a toe, you know, dropping a painting or something, then that would be a whole different kettle of fish. But he's always going to come across badly. I mean, Kerry was saying he sounded a bit awkward next to the wonderful Lindy.
Well, yeah, just a different attitude to life in general, really, is what he's got. He's, you know, interminably moaning and tired and sighing and droning, whereas she's a chirruping, lively, wanting to crack on individual.
And she's even got time to worry about Monty's feelings.
Mm,
I mean,
exactly.
She's like, oh, you know, poor Monty, you know, you just want your old owner back. And obviously there's a kind of like a deep pathos to that. But, you know, yeah, I mean, but yes, you know, she was even worrying about Monty's feelings. It was really quite dreadful.
She's worrying about Monty. It's taken Adam to be locked in his home for 24 hours to realise he's got a child and what he should do about childcare.
I'm going to mix some metaphors here, but I feel like I've thrown chum for the kraken. Like Kerry is sort of exactly. The morning's going to start. Yeah.
Oh God, he's bloody awful.
Yeah, he's that was what because I'm a voyeur when it comes to the your Sunday morning tweet-alongs on for the omnibus. And the mauling that Adam gets is something terrible. I know you say justifiably, but
yeah, he's very, very selfish, though, isn't he? He's not thinking about Xander really. He's like, oh my God, I've got a baby, and maybe I could work from home. And when he's talking about that, there's an interesting thing that usually happens in the Archers, which is that they get a female relative to do the childcare. That's usually what happens. But he's kind of twisting that and saying, you know, in order for him to work from home, he's going to get another female to totally change their career.
So, sorry, you made me think. What do we know why Linda never had children? I can't remember. I know
she couldn't have children.
She couldn't have children.
Yeah,
okay,
this has been an on-running thing, you know, even down to oh goodness, what's her grandson called now?
A smudger or something? It was something very weird. Was it
Mungo? Mungo.
Yeah.
Mungo. You know, it was even mentioned. You know, the fact that she's not. Robert's daughter snidely said once, "You're not his real grandmother," and she took it so badly.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so they've played that really deftly all the way through. Whenever small children are mentioned and pregnancies, there's always a little mention that she always wanted to be a mother but couldn't. But just to come back onto the Adam thing, just because I'm just burning to say this. I can remember Ella walking for the first time. It was a Friday. I came home from work and she just pulled herself up and started walking, and her grandparents from Canada. And she knew she was doing something amazing, because she was just laughing. Everybody was like, "Do it again, do it again." And she'd just keep walking and fall over and pick herself up.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that Xander was walking for the first time. I didn't feel that sense of wonder that a parent feels seeing their child walk for the first time.
Well, no, because you can't tell what Adam's emoting at any point.
Slight tangent, and maybe it does relate to Adam a little bit. Anyone who films their child walking for the first time is not fully engaged, because, you know, you see all these videos, people supposedly filming their child walking for the first time. I was just standing there with my jaw on the floor and smiling at the same time. So a very strange look on my face. Just as Royfield was saying, just over the moon, again, 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 clapping your hands. And yes, as we were joking earlier on, there was Adam, like James Stewart in Rear Window, in his wheelchair, the voyeur, watching.
What a brilliant film that is, by the way.
I know. You know what? Hitchcock, late 50s, holy camoly, in a North by Northwest. Oh.
And it's really Technicolor Rear Window as well, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was just about to say. It's the colours. It's everything about it. It's the colours. Yep. It's the period. A wonderful, wonderful film. Yeah. And I say North by Northwest. I wanted to call my close shop Cary Grant. I was in love with that man from the age of 8 to, and I'm still in love with him.
So am I. Know. And by the sounds of it, you'd probably have more luck with him than I would, I think.
What? Because he's dead.
That wasn't what I meant, no. can I just make a point, actually, because I don't want to nick something, but the point I was making about, you know, the getting female relatives to do childcare or manipulating a female to change their career to suit your own needs, that was completely lifted from Jenny Williams, who is a tweeter. So, you know, I thought, yes, that's such a good point. So I don't want to just plagiarize and pretend it was my idea.
Oh yes, and the rear view window comment, we were talking about that part of the same conversation, weren't we? It was something we heard on Twitter.
In conclusion, to Auntie Kerry Warburton, what were we saying about Robert and Lindy?
Well, we worry about them and we love them, and let no thing pull asunder, really. Can they survive this sort of miscommunication?
Yeah. Peter Fickling, you're doing this marriage thing at the moment, aren't you?
Yep.
Do you look at them pair and say that is a role model for Charlotte and I?
Yeah, I think there's some similarities, actually. One kind of incredibly sort of obnoxious, well, superficially obnoxious, willful person, and then a kind of a velvet glove with the iron fist. That is my lovely wife. Yes. So yes, I'm definitely the Lindy in the situation. I see a lot of comparisons.
Smashing. Yeah. And on that note, folks, I'm going to press a button.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And now we're going over to Smedic.
Hi, Roy Field and all. It's Sarah from Sunwell Stroke Birmingham here. How's it going? First of all, great joy, Linda is back. But then, was it joy? Because when she had a little mishap, it was quite a distressing listen. And I came over all, come on, Linda, you can do it, you can do it. Like her own personal, the little engine that could style cheerleader. So very moving, very well done on the part of Carol Boyd. And a normal chunk of the radio service resumed with Adam's constant moaning. But it did amuse me, the irony, it amused me quite greatly, that he doesn't want to take his meds from a bottle and he's also annoyed of Alice taking on his work. So perhaps they could switch roles, because we all know Alice loves anything in a bottle, and the booze, strokes, prescription meds combo could be all your favourite efforts in one sloppily put together package. Either way, it's going to be a Kinder surprise of car crash viewing, possibly quite literally. Oh, well, that's my two pennies for the week. Sorry, a bit.
Yeah, she mentioned Carol Boyd's acting, and, it was superb, wasn't it, when she was in agony and, crying out, I've had enough of this. She was just splendid, I thought.
There are one or two Archers, or the Archers cast, who I'm always surprised haven't had sort of bigger careers, because they're they are such good actors.
It's a decent point piece, but I think one of the things about being specifically a voiceover actor is people have got other gigs, and Charlotte Martin, who plays Susan, is a case in point, because, she's a proper head doctor. And, the work isn't necessarily, doesn't come in that thick and fast for acting. So a lot of them have got other gigs. So Ian Pepperell, who plays Roy Tucker, owns a pub, et cetera, et cetera. So, they're off doing other things.
Mm. Interesting. I didn't know that. I vaguely knew the Roy Pepperell comment about the running a pub, but I didn't know there were two doctors in the cast.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? Switching up between the two must be so weird. she doesn't like Adam's constant moaning. Surprise, surprise, Sarah.
There's nothing new that I'm going to say that I haven't said before. I think we all have a problem with the delivery of the lines that the character of Adam displays.
Yeah,
I'm trying to put this in the most gentlest of ways. But I do also think that the character needs a looking at, because we've seen precious little character growth, I would say, ever since that character came back to Ambridge. Yes, there's an affair with Charlie. Yes, there was a coupling with Ian. Yes, he's become a father. Oh, and the constant moaning about him not getting his recognition home farm. Constant, and now he's got that position, and then with his very obvious umbrage with his sister, in that she's Brian's more preferred child,
the golden girl, as he called her.
That was odd, wasn't it, the way that
I was talking about Debbie as opposed to Alice. Debbie's position with Brian would always defer to her when Brian was running Home Farm, in terms of big decisions. If Brian wanted to think out loud, wasn't quite sure of something, he'd ring Hungry, and that riled him up. Have we seen any character development with Adam?
Well, you would hope that you would, with,
But
the things you've just described are quite sort of life-changing things, aren't they? So, the sort of hooking up, getting married, the, getting the baby, they should be things that are really interesting, shouldn't they, and exciting and...
Or make you just warm to the character. We've had a situation whereby Joy Horville has come in, and she just sounded, not to all listeners, but for the first time on mic, dreadful for that the first month. Oh my God, how the hell are we going to deal with this new character? And within 6 months, 4 months, I don't know how long she's been in it, but it's not a year.
Did you not like Joy from the beginning?
Well, she was a real bit, not a busybody. She chattered incessantly, didn't she? I think that's the only real thing about her that grated a little bit. She just didn't shut up and sort of didn't really have an awareness of a self-awareness when she was in a social situation, maybe. But we now realise that's because
she's lonely.
Super lonely, yeah.
Yeah. And we've had Adam, this version of Adam, back since the mid-noughts. He's had more than enough time to ingratiate himself with us, the listeners, and he hasn't. And that isn't just the acting. It's got to be also the writing. There is no character that's been in it for that amount of time. It's when people going, oh, yeah, you know, they're an essential part of the village. But there is something about Adam and then Adam and Ian, because I used to be a massive Ian fan. I don't know what the hell has happened with Ian.
Adam happened to Ian.
If you look at Justin or you look at Brian or you look at some of the other men in the village, when they go off on their slightly pompous, self-involved, absorbed kind of business rants, you know, we all sort of, I certainly do go a little bit numb and think, oh, here we go. It's like, it all seems a bit implausible and dull. But then they're always rescued by their significant other. And I remember a while back, I think it was Witherspoon was saying that, you know, Ian and Adam don't seem plausible as a gay couple. And then I think we all agreed they just don't seem plausible as a couple full stop. They're almost completely sort of asexual. And so you don't have that kind of, you don't have that moment of them at home. So the only time you do, to Royfield's point, the only time you do see Adam relaxing is when he goes to watch Ian have a temper tantrum because someone else is cooking better at a, you know, the restaurant where he works or something. There's no, you never get to see him joking around at home. You never get to see the softer side. And if you do, it doesn't come, it doesn't connect because you don't really like the couple. The exact opposite of Linda and Robert. You know, Linda and Robert playing Boggle at home would still be, you know, one of the most entertaining episodes ever.
It would, and I do think it does then ultimately come down to the delivery of the lines. I know what you mean about, you know, it's script as well, but even when there is a point where you should be emotional and it should be exciting and we should warm to him like a child, a child's first steps.
I do try and be as positive as possible about all of the actors because I sort of, you know, despite having won several awards as a child actor,
the Milky Bar kid. Weren't you? You bloody looked like the Milky Bar kid.
I played a prostitute and a teacher in a play within a play. And the review read
in your own bedroom.
Were it not for my walk, I was would have been completely convincing as a woman in both roles. So, but sometimes I do feel like they throw some of the actors some very implausible scenes. So, or very sort of overly written scenes. So you've got Ian basically building a kind of metropolis out of papier-mâché with kind of like, and he's awash with Q-tips and pipe cleaners. Thank you. Yeah. And all this stuff. And, you know, there's a part of your brain that's always going, this isn't right. This isn't right. So, you know, like, and a lot of these settings are, I think the actor's given a lot of heavy lifting. Whether he could do better with it is not for me to say, but, you know, like I think Adam, the character in particular, has to do a lot of very awkward scene manipulation.
Yeah, particularly the bit about the lion in the sheep's pen or whatever it was, or the pig pen, I can't remember. There was a lion in the wrong place and all of that. And let me rearrange it how it should be.
Like, you can't milk a lion, Xander.
I wish Adam would try and milk a lion. Probably finish him off at last.
Hey, well, listen, this next caller in a row, he knows all about parenthood. He's a proper good dad. It's Glyn Fuller Love.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. I must admit, I think I'm suffering from monologue fatigue, even if we are getting a little bit of dialogue now. Although it could just be that in the last week we've had a surfeit of Adam. I wish we'd heard a little bit more of him when, as Alice put it, he was away with the fairies, as surely that would have been more entertaining. Talking of Alice, it does sound as if Chris is beginning to realise that there's a major problem with her drinking, and Alice's criticism of Chris for suggesting the vodka bottle was hers was a masterpiece of addict self-delusion. But did we hear her insecurities and her inner belief that she can't match up to Brian's expectations of her and has never done so coming through a bit on Thursday? See how that develops. One other note on this week's Archers is the axe is yet to fall on Emma's job. So perhaps the caller-inner last week who suggested that Fallon was going to hand over management of the tea shop to Emma may still be proved correct. We can but hope. Well, that's all for me for this week. I hope everyone in Dumpty Dumland is staying safe. Thank you, as ever, for the podcast and for all the efforts of the new social media team. And good week to everyone in Dumpty Dumland. Goodbye.
Good week to you, Glyn, as well. Yes, there is too much Adam. As you pointed out, Chris is starting to realise about Alice's drinking, isn't he? The finding of the empty bottle, vodka bottle,
yeah,
shed, and they, so on.
I was quite strident in my sort of criticism of the way they'd written Alice's drinking, and I think that all of my concerns were addressed this week, because my central problem was that you didn't hear Alice reconciling the physical detritus and evidence of her drinking with her fantasies, because I think that's something that even if you're in denial, you've still got to somehow hear that reconciliation if you're hearing the inner monologue. And I thought that was done really well this week, the way that you could hear her kind of trying in real time, because didn't they have some back and forth on the phone, or you heard her talking directly after Chris had been off the phone. And so you could hear her in real time starting to distort things. So it would start off, you know, she's selling it to him. Oh, there could have been a party, and then you hear her almost selling it to herself afterwards.
But I thought that was last week to this week was brilliant for exactly that. And that was kind of like the reason why I disagreed with you last week, was that she was in denial. She genuinely, she wasn't fooling herself that this was not at all a problem. This week, even though she hasn't really voiced it as such in her own head, there is a dissonance now. I have to go into the shed. I have to now lie to my partner about doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And she's starting to realise. And I think we have to applaud the script writers to very clearly subtly go from last week to this.
Yeah, we were just kind of a one step ahead, weren't we? And should have been a bit more patient, I guess. But
yeah,
Glyn made a really good point, I think, about how Alice was at the very end of the four episodes, which was when she was revealing that she feels like she's never good enough. They're going to find me out. It's like imposter syndrome or something was happening with her. It's like, which was hinting at partly perhaps why, or entirely, I don't know why she's hitting the bottle so much,
and the vicious spiral therein. You know, tomorrow I'm going to clean up. All I need to do is get myself straight today. I'll have a few drinks today because, you know, I'm feeling a bit rough after last night. I've had a tough day, and then tomorrow morning I'll clean my act up and I'll crack on. And then it's the next day, and then the next day, the next day. And then that disappointment in yourself, even if it's subconscious, depending, you know, which week we're talking about, still feeds into that sense of disappointment. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, impacts your ability to do anything about it.
Yeah, so sort of justifying every slip up.
Yeah, but also at the same, also each slip up sort of feeds into the inability to, you know, well, first of all, it's famously booze is a depressive, and, you know, also it's going to affect your competence. If the underlying stress is your concern about being perceived the golden child and not being able to live up to that status, being constantly hungover, fatigued and depressed is definitely going to make that worse, right?
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? You're cruising towards that crash, aren't you? It's sad, isn't it?
I think the other thing which has been very good in the whole monologues, they are really developing this major storyline, which has been going on for at least 2, if not 3 years beforehand, rumbling away in the background. But what they really have done is to shine a light on Alice and Brian So we've known when they had to move out of Home Farm, it was Alice that sided with Brian and was very much was daddy's girl. And we're now seeing very clearly the pressure that Brian asserted on her for her to assume this management role at Home Farm. I think was totally right and proper, to be honest with you, but she perceived it as pressure. You know, we've always known that Brian liked to drink. And we kind of have a sense of, is this kind of copying behavior? Is this kind of some genetic predisposition because of Brian, et cetera, et cetera? And we've managed through these monologues, which a lot of us think are excruciating, to have the relationship between this father and his child and his daughter really, really well fleshed out. We understand it so much more. And I think we have to kind of slightly doff our caps and say not all of these monologues have been placeholders for that reason alone.
Mm. Yeah. Brian was sort of the dark matter to the rest of the universe in this episode, wasn't he? He didn't actually appear, but his kind of his touch and his influence was everywhere all the way through it. And it is absolutely, I mean, you've got, you know, Adam has had to scrap and fight for every last bit of influence or control or promotion he's had on the farm. And here's Alice just given the keys, you know, at a moment's notice. And it does sort of lay bare how Brian operates and how he sort of runs like a little fiefdom. And even when he's retired, he's still sort of pulling the strings emotionally, if not sort of actually. Maybe it was a bit implausible that Adam would go along with it and suddenly he's like, oh, Brian's pulled it all together and, you know...
When we were talking last week about it seemed the right natural thing to do when it's a family concern and there's a member of the family who could help out and who hasn't got work at the moment, that's how I saw it, that it was a logical thing to do, not that it was, you know, sort of handing the keys and sort of she should have earned that position or anything like that.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think this week, the way that my mind went was, why isn't Adam reacting against it? Exactly. Yeah. Like Alice sort of buckling under the small amount of pressure she's been under. She's only been there a week. She's had Adam. She's got Adam on the end of the phone if she does need any advice. And she's already starting to sort of show the strain and make some mistakes. But to your point, I guess I was just more surprised that Adam wasn't absolutely foaming.
He will be when he finds out about the double pay.
Monday started, if I remember correctly, Monday started with Adam getting quite cross about the fact that Alice had just been parachuted in. He was doubting Brian's decision making. And by the end of the week, he was on the phone with Alice sort of saying, oh, maybe I'm going to be, you know, working 2 hours a week, a yurt at the end of the field where Xander and I will be sort of, you know, playing with anatomically correct dolls or something. I don't know. But,
which is utter nonsense that we didn't buy it at all.
Yeah.
And surely, this is somebody who his business, running that farm, was his whole life. And he decides with his partner to become parents. You would have thought he would have made provision for this.
Well,
before
yes.
Xander was born.
Of like, course.
It's just, the whole thing's implausible.
Yeah.
It was written in a way that we were supposed to go on this like emotional journey, have this epiphany moment with Adam that, you know, he can be around his son and he can take joy, you know, the joy of life and existence from seeing Xander go through the various stages of being a toddler. And it just fell flat.
Yeah.
And for him to turn round and say, oh, you know, I can work, you know, 2 hours, whatever. He doesn't. Yeah. As if. As if.
Well, even Alice said, what's happened to my brother, didn't she?
Yeah.
On that, where he was revealing that this might be a plan of his. Great. Good.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We need to be rescued by the other side of the Atlantic, upper, lower, east, west side. Witherspoon, please.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, everyone in Dumpty Dum Towers and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Last week, I didn't have time to comment on Fallon's struggles with the cafe. The story personally hits home. It reminds me of so many restaurants in New York struggling to stay open and so many that have permanently closed. When you walk down the street, you see empty storefront after storefront with for rent signs. My husband is working hard to keep open the club and restaurant he owns, but its future is unclear. Currently, outdoor dining is allowed, which brings in some members. Meanwhile, the rent bill just piles up. The landlord isn't asking for payment right now, but if he asks for full restitution, we're in trouble. My understanding is that restaurants are fully open in England. So is there a disconnect in this story arc and the actual current situation? Well, that was bound to happen. In any case, Helen should be more supportive of her friend and continue to accept the partial rent. If our horrible New York City landlord can wait on his rent, she also can. As well, we have another case of a quote-unquote consultant in the person of Natasha spouting rubbish. Much like Angus, not Angus Haggis, of course, did earlier last year. In the meantime, I do hope that Emma doesn't lose her job. Doesn't the cafe have another non-speaking employee that Fallon can let go? Let's see how all this gets resolved. Talk to you soon.
Kerry, I know normally you jump in and do the connective bit of tissue from the caller in to us.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to segue just very briefly because, and this is not at all about me, but it hit me somewhat in between the eyes yesterday. Really good friend of mine in America. She is a personal assistant. She got a job 2 weeks ago for this family. Just flown to take up woman's taken up a CEO job at Cliff Bar, really big brand in California. So it's a big job. She's flown in from Chicago, and my friend really excited to be working with this family. And she turned up for work yesterday, and the 17-year-old son had killed himself, had hung himself.
No.
And could you imagine anything utterly as terrible as that? On the poor mother is thinking, very obviously, the problems and the issues that this young man had went deeper than moving to California. But that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, leaving his friends behind and him feeling so alone. New surroundings, even though he had a new car from his parents, they were incredibly minted, that it forced me to ring all three of my children and tell them, if you're ever feeling, you know, lonely, ever feeling abandoned, you speak to somebody, you speak to me, your mother, your friends around you. It's just to say that we have a wonderful, wonderful contributor to the program, Witherspoon. And what he does day in, day out is to help people to make sense of their world. And I cried loads yesterday, and I've never met this boy. And I just felt it for him, very obviously. Felt it for my friend who turned up for work.
God.
And was basically, her boss opened the door and there's police cars everywhere. And she's blaming herself. Parents are thinking we were negligent as to how lonely he was feeling. He was 3 weeks in California. And then it just forces you as a parent just to want to hug your children and just to make sure that they are all right. And this is such an epidemic. Young men killing themselves.
I was just going to say that young males have much more a tricky time, I think.
To say that it needs to be addressed is somewhat trite. But we need to really address or to really look at young men and how they feel. The first two deaths that I was aware of, other than old family members, were teenage boys, were people I went to school with, killed themselves. This epidemic just cannot go on. So thank you, Witherspoon, for all the work that you do and the people that you help and that you counsel. If you've got a teenage child out there and if they're a bloody pain in the arse, admonish them, but also hold them very close to you and hug them and make them realise that they are loved and valued because so many of them do not realise that they are. That's all I wanted to say.
Mental health resources in this country are shocking, though, NHS-wise. Such a struggle.
And Peter will back me up with this. They probably are shocking. You go to America and it's so much worse.
I bet.
Toss out onto the street their citizens that have any level of mental strife. And you see people obviously in some level of mental distress that should not be out on the street wandering up and down. You go to the Tenderloin in San Francisco and it's a dystopian nightmare. It's like a movie set of all the wrong things about capitalism.
Such a wealthy country. Yeah, exactly. It's a disgrace. You know, a disgrace.
The amount of homelessness, and it just goes on and on and on. So right here and now, I don't want to be a total shill for the NHS, but I'm incredibly proud of this British institution. Can it do more? Probably. But my God, there are countries that do it a whole lot worse.
Oh, yeah, it's the best thing about this country, I think, the NHS. And it's tragically under-resourced. Anyway.
Oh, my friends in California would frequently sort of almost refuse to believe, you know, because we'd be reporting back about, you know, the kid and just explaining all the stuff we got for free. This, you know, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then beyond the NHS, the fact that my wife was able to, you know, we had to contribute a little bit, was basically able to look after him for the first year of his life. Our friends back in California, they're dropping their kids off at daycare 2-3 months in. And, you know, I don't want to try and be too neat and tidy about it, but I would be fairly confident that will contribute to mental health problems later on for the teenage boys and teenage girls. But back to Royfield's original point about that poor young man.
Mm. Yeah. I've somewhat taken the wind out of whatever Witherspoon said. Can you remember what it was, Kerry?
I can lighten up and trivialise things if you want. I used to live just above the Tenderloin in an area called the Tender Knob. So, and that's not me being childish. That's actually what it's called. So, you know, there you go.
I'd never heard of the Tenderloin place.
Don't. Just stay that way. It's really grim.
Okay.
And it's not like sort of certain kind of rough parts of cities where you can go there and it's kind of like, oh wow, it's edgy and cool, and there's some kind of, it's not like sort of Soho in the, you know, after the Second World War. It's just grim. There's no other part of it.
Anyway, back to Witherspoon. He was talking about the cafe and the struggles with, you know, in COVID.
Yeah, he made a very
time.
Good point, didn't he? I thought about this when I heard Witherspoon say it. You know, are there a lot of staff? But then very, very clearly Fallon said, you know, I've hired good staff. And staff is a bit like couple, few, several. Staff for me is several. You're talking 3 to 5 minimum. Yeah. You know,
it's more
otherwise
than just Emma, isn't it?
Exactly. So to Witherspoon's point, it's pretty damn. And also, to you know, topic of the week last week, please leave Emma alone. Please, please, please leave Emma alone unless she becomes, you know, the Michelle Dewsbury of Ambridge.
The who?
Michelle Dewsbury. I'm getting every name wrong. She was plucky. Plucky young woman who did well on the Apprentice, you know,
she was the Rottweiler. That was her nickname, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very likable, if I remember.
No, it wasn't. That was another one. Sorry, got that mixed up. Another point Witherspoon mentioned was, sorry, really, really quickly, Natasha's COD consultancy tips. How irritating were they? Like, just go back to using plastic and. And then he remembered Angus. Do you remember Angus, the consultancy person who had sort of shoes with no socks, and they really sort of overspan him, didn't they, as being
the bee at Ambridge?
I hate to concede it, but I think Emma is going to lose her job. And there was another trail for it this week where basically Linda said she was on team Fallon, and I think that was a clear nod. Emma's going to be professional in the moment, be a friend to Fallon, accept the loss of the job. She'll find out about Natasha and Helen's influence. That is then going to kick off a righteous fury, which Emma is good at. And that's then all going to play out rather in an ugly, you know, ugly way about the fruit and veg show.
Yeah. And where's Bridge Farm's conscience in all of this? Conscience, I should say.
Well, no, I mean, it's not to do with branding, is it? You know, conscience is not part of their brand, so we don't need to worry about it. Do you know what? I've got a bit of time on my hands at the moment. I might actually do something they need to do. I might actually do the Bridge Farm brand document, given that's sort of like relevant to my skill set. Just to see if I can.
Pete, I tell you what, why don't you start that whilst Kerry and I listen to Brian?
Fair enough.
Get your felts out, mate.
Oh, it's Brian again, 2 weeks in a row. This week was hard going, wasn't it? Lovely to hear from Linda. Sad that she was in pain and struggling. Then there was this strange drone on the recording, but that turned out to be Adam. I like to play spot the theme of the week, and I think this week it's all about characters' image of themselves and how they others see them. You've got Linda wants to be old self again, frustrated it's not happening. Alice is afraid she can't live up to other people's expectations, and that's shortening her drinking. Chris is scared he's failing Alice. And then there's Adam. Adam thinks about crop yields and moisture content. I was hoping that an incapacitated Adam might be out quiet for a while, but no, I should be so lucky. I'd much rather have heard more about the mysterious Edmund and his dodgy bird photos than Adam finally realising as a child that needs quite a bit of looking after. Although, why is he now thinking about the childcare arrangements? Uh-huh. Anyway, it seems like Adam was doing all the childcare this week. Now you can manage that without... You can't move without either being drenched in sweat or morphine. Anyway, I'll leave you that charming mental image of a spaced-out, sweaty Adam. nice to talk. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Oh, darling Brian. Bless him. Love him.
You do like a Brian, don't you, Kerry?
I do. He's so sweet. Really, really like him. Yeah. Yes, the images of themselves is what he thought the theme was and how people perceive them. Did you think that was the theme of the week?
I'm not subtle or clever enough to ever spot these themes. I just let it sort of wash over me. I'm like one of those kind of urinal deodorants. I don't sort of, I'm sort of just playing a kind of passive but hopefully important role.
So funny. Oh, God. Yeah, droning Adam. Again, he sort of said about, you know, it's taken being locked in your home to realise he needs to think about childcare as well. Yeah.
I'm excited about Edmund. I hope he's not. Yes. I hope he becomes a speaking character. I really, really like Jim and Robert's relationship. I mean, I might be risking that by sort of inviting another speaking character into it, but I think we are due a bit more light relief. Hannah didn't really play out the way I hoped in becoming a kind of another fun knockabout character in the village. She just ended up being kind of sort of quite spiteful. I guess she's due another run, isn't she? Because it would be weird for them to invest so much in her and then have her drift away. I mean, we have got Joy, but I'm quietly hoping that Edmund is going to, you know, be significant.
And for Robert to do a reverse image search.
Oh, that was brilliantly nonsensical.
It was, wasn't it? You know, that just shows the passion of his jealousy about Jim having another friend, really, in the bird hide.
Yeah, and it did remind me of a certain friend from Birmingham who got really quite jealous and upset last week, Kerry, about your and my frequent off-mic conversations.
Who's that? Adrian Lester?
Hey, that's the one, yeah. And then you and I were forced to kind of have a conversation with him on the weekend to kind of patch everything up and make it all better.
We invited Royfield, didn't we? And it was lovely.
It was too bad. Well done, Royfield.
We might do it again.
Yeah.
Patronising bastards.
Yeah, fair enough.
Hi, Royfield, Kerry and Peter. It's Cheryl here, a first-time caller in a row from Cornwall. Cunningly known as Cheryl on the Flick app and masquerading as a rabbit on the Twitters. I'm a relatively recent listener, arriving at the same time as the Fair Brethren. I'm really disappointed that in the last couple of weeks, the scriptwriters lost the opportunity to completely kill Adam off. At the very least, they could have given us a couple of weeks off with him being completely comatose. But no, we had that really dreary monologue from him last week. And he sounds like the most unfun, controlling parent. I can't be the only one wishing orphanhood on Xander so he can go back to Lexi for a better life. I agree with last week's caller-inner, Rhiannish being alcoholically slapdash with birth control, and I think pregnancy possibly looms for both her and Fallon, the compare and contrast storyline between the two women's approaches. Unfortunately, I also fear the fetal alcohol syndrome storyline and just how disappointed and distressed Jenny Darling's going to be. But for me, the worst thing about the whole Alish alcoholic storyline is just the anticipation of how sanctimonious she's going to be when she gets into recovery.
Yes. Such a lot packed into Cheryl's call, isn't there? First-time caller in, well done, Cheryl. Please ring again. You're a fair brethren, which doesn't feel like that long ago at all. You'd quite like Adam to be killed off, so I, you know, welcome to my world. and yes, he is an unfun, controlling parent, isn't he? Orphanhood would be nicer for our Xander.
It's pretty harsh. I'd love to see a fresh listener pickup against plotline chart, because I think the Fair Brothers, that was a you know, they're quite sticky. If you know that was your first experience of the Archers, I can see why you'd stick around.
Yeah.
You know, Toby's fun, Rex is fun. They're both very likable. There's good interplay between the two of them.
Rex isn't fun.
Oh, he is. Well, he's a good catalyst for fun. Fun things happen around him.
He's a often good near fun. Sort, but he's not fun.
They were both met with horror when they first arrived by most of us.
Yeah, Jill having kind of like agonised and quite sort of vocal flashbacks to Fair Brother Senior. You had the relationship with the lady vet who I can't remember the name of.
Mm. Well, just to back up Artie Kerry, very astute observations. But talking about astute observations. I believe we have some electronic messages week.
Yes.
Warburton.
I'm finding them right now.
Are you shuffling your papers? Or am I putting in a sound effect?
Yourselves. Yeah. I've got them. Yep. Here they are.
Smashing. Right.
So we have Christine has written to us. And Christine says, "Hi, Royfield, Kerry and Peter. I have to disagree with Peter and Kerry, as I find the self-delusion of Alice quite realistic. And I've heard similar from middle-class friends, e.g. the medical professional who has to have a glass of wine every evening, but denies the definition that this is a problem applies to them. Admitting it to yourself is the first step that could lead to recovery." She then goes on to say, on a different tangent, "My plot prediction, although not what I want to happen, is that Emma becomes a professional childminder, perhaps just for Xander at first, but then add Rosie, then Fallon and Harrison's offspring. I hope the script writers do it properly for once. I assume she would have to set up in rooms at Grange Farm, but it could turn into a nice little business and return some form of education to the village. As a first-time writer innerer, I live in southeast England, I'm a civil servant and have listened since birth." You poor, poor woman. "And I'm probably an Adam, although the first character I remember joining was George Barford. Thanks for the podcast," says Christine. So that was good. She's properly given the context of her arriving at the Archers and who she is. But yeah, the first disagreeing bit about me and Peter and the self-delusion, we didn't really say that it was the self-delusion that wasn't realistic, did we? But I think we've covered that earlier.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, we did. I think, yeah, we did speak earlier on about how this week has sort of moved things more in a direction that I think kind of actually sort of builds a bridge. You know, whether you're on Team Royfield or Team Kerry and Peter in general or specifically, I think that this week, you know, it's moved in a direction where both we can all be right.
Yeah.
Her denial is there to be seen, and also some of that real world, that clash of the denial and the real world, like I said earlier on, is sort of starting to reveal itself.
Yeah, her self-awareness of that is coming through. Yeah.
I can see a bridge between the two points raised, Alice's drinking and Emma starting up a kind of a caring, a business for caring. Maybe she could, rather than children, maybe she could start like a priory. The Aldridges alone could probably keep her going for a year or two.
Yeah, and Lillian, you know, could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, exactly. That. Just, you yeah. know, and that would, you know, and it's also be a very convenient device for bringing in lots of outside, you know, colourful outside characters.
Mm. Eddie might join, or they wouldn't be able to afford the.
He'd be making some money at the back gate.
Yeah.
You know, delivering bottles of cider. Yeah.
Yes, we also have the lovely Vicky Cole has written.
Is that my Vicky Cole?
Yes, it's your Vicky Cole.
Oh, I love my Vicky Cole.
I know, because last time she said she wanted to write so that she could hear me reading. So, you know, she's my Vicky Cole now, Royfield.
Or I'll share if I have to.
No, she's yours. So she says, greetings. Thank you, Yokel Bear and Millie Bell, for your loyal years of service and welcome to the new team. So that's lovely. Hear, hear. Two things, she says. How have Adam and Ian not decided on childcare already? Many, many question marks she has put in her text there. Yep, exactly. And another gloomy prediction about Alice. I think to solve all the contracting problems that will arise, she will end up flirting with the other farmers and one thing will lead to another and then there'll be a baby. And whose will it be? And there may also be the fetal alcohol syndrome, as I mentioned in my caller in last week. Oh, dear. Love to all from Vicky.
Baby Tony with fetal alcohol syndrome. My good God. Oh, no. Oh, no, well, that would be incest, wouldn't it? Who else could it be then? Sorry. Actually, no, which farmer could she have an affair with that wouldn't be
Brian?
Problematic? No, well, Brian, that's very problematic, isn't it?
But on a serious note, the fetal alcohol syndrome could be a sort of public service. Let's all learn about that kind of topic,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we've said before that that's something that we don't know about, or at least Royfield and I definitely don't know about, and we could are interested to learn. We will steel ourselves to it and yeah. You know, reluctantly learn.
I don't know about it either. So, yeah. That would be good.
So talking about competency, I think it's time for us to have a little break, draw breath, take five, come back the other side with Lillian.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello everybody, it's Lillian here with this week's media, social media roundup. I'm a new voice to the podcast and it's the first time for me doing this, so I'm a bit nervous, I'm afraid. However, on to the social media roundup for this week. We've had a lot of new members added to the group, so that's good news. And it's been very busy this week with lots of interaction, which has been great. Also, we've had some interaction on the other Archers groups, which has also been quite interesting. So with our group, I have put a couple of topics and polls up for people to engage with, and you haven't let me down. The first topic that I put up was about, if you were holidaying in Ambridge, where would you want to book your accommodation? And I gave three options initially, which were Ambridge Hall, Grey Gables, or Grange Farm. Surprisingly, nobody went for Grange Farm, which I was a bit amazed about, really, because I think I'd like to go to Grange Farm, if only for one of Clary's great breakfasts, because that would set you up for the whole day. However, some people said that they'd like to go to Ambridge Hall, and one person actually with a spoon said that he'd like to stay in the Shepherd's Hut, which I thought was a really cool idea. And other people said that they would like to go to Grey Gables. One person said that they'd actually like to stay at Grey Gables on an all-inclusive, which sounds like a really cool idea to me. And then other people said that they'd like to sofa surf. Some people said they'd like to go on self-catering. Other people suggested that they'd like to stay at Spiritual Home. So it all turned out to be quite interesting, really. So that was a good question that was answered. And then the other poll that I actually put up was... Yes, the other question that I asked wasn't actually a poll, it was a question that I asked, and that was, of all the silent characters in Ambridge currently, which ones would you like to see given a voice? And quite a lot of you went for animals, which was quite surprising in a sense. Some people said that they wanted to hear Scruff. Actually, one person said that to me, and I thought they were insulting me. Until I realised that actually what they meant was that they wanted Scruff the dog to be brought back from out of silence. Another person had said that they wanted Hilda. Whoa, that was a bit worrying because I thought, gosh, I think Hilda's actually made her mark, really. I don't think she needs to be brought back, but, you know, everyone to their own. A lot of people said they wanted to hear the Gills, so that would be good. And some other people said that they wanted to hear Tracy's kids, and that would be interesting as well. So there were quite a few interesting answers. Some people wanted to hear Sabrina. I would like to hear Sabrina, actually, myself. So, yeah. That was another good topic that we had on the group. There was a lot of merriment and mirth on Monday night when we heard Linda back to her old form. And then the roller coaster ride happened on Tuesday when she was very distressed and we were all a bit concerned. In other groups, there was a lot of talk about, and in our group as well, there was a lot of talk about Adam and how irritating he's been this week. A lot of people were saying that they'd actually wish that he'd actually got run over by the tractor and not survived, which is a little bit harsh. There was a lot more talk this week also about Alice and her alcoholism. There was a lot of talk on a lot of the groups about that. And also, one person on one of the groups, I can't actually remember which one, but one person on one of the groups had actually said that they predicted that she would be driving home farm office and that she would get run over little Xander. And I thought, oh no, we don't want that to be happening. That's a little bit too hard hitting, I think. So that was on the Facebooks. On the Flick app chat, we have had a lot of interesting stuff about the online flower and produce show.
There's a lot of pictures up there of different people's produce, and I think it's fair to suggest that Mr. Substances is now getting a run for his money, which is great. There was a lot of talk about the different ideas for the Flower and Produce show, and Linda getting back on the committee, sorting out the ego trips between Fallon and Emma. There was another interesting item on one of the groups, which I spotted, which was Peggy's secret. And it was all about how she had met and had an affair with Frank Sinatra. It's a fictional thing, obviously, but it looks like a lot of fun. It's worth checking out. And I think it's on Archer's Addicts. Not sure. But anyway, it's quite amusing. It's quite worth checking out. Well, I've gone over my 5 minutes, folks. So I shall post this. Bye-bye for now. All have a good week and stay safe.
I'll let you into a little bit of a secret, listener. Lillian was really worried because a screen reader was going off 10 to the dozen when she was recording, and she sent me a message saying, "Royfield, I don't know if that's all right." It was utterly wonderful, my dear. And don't worry about the screen reader. And actually, I quite liked it going off. Added a little bit of colour and texture to your call. I did edit it out for you this time, but if you'd like me to leave them in, I don't mind leaving them in. But Lillian, thank you. That's the third of our new team showing you what's going on in the socials in the whole world of Archer's fandom. Now, Warburton, Auntie Kerry,
yeah, right?
I want my ribs to be tickled.
Oh, God.
Tweet of the week.
Okay, I will do my best. So the first tweet is from Andy D. Make the Tea. And he's Andrew Davidson.
Good start. I like his title. Made me smile.
Oh, excellent. And he says, if Brian can hide illegal chemicals on home farm for 40 years, I'm pretty sure that Alice can keep a bottle of vodka in a filing cabinet for as long as it takes her to drink it. In brackets, editor's note, not long.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. Yep, yep.
Bad, not bad.
Then we have one from Helen Walmsley J, who is at The Vintage Year on the Twitters. She's an authoress, a very good one as well. She says, they're a bunch of idiots, aren't they? Alice is to the family business, in brackets, any business, as Trump is to democracy. Would you agree?
Peter, do you agree?
Is Alice Donald Trump?
No, she's not. No one is Donald Trump. It's like Trump is going to become what's the internet phenomena where people compare people to Hitler?
Oh yeah,
there's all kinds of science and statistics
that
about it.
Always ends up where you talk about Hitler. Yeah,
go big or go Hitler. Yeah. I feel that Trump,
something like Mitchell's Law or something, isn't it?
Yeah, Trump has become that. In his own lifetime. It's, well, hopefully he goes the same way as Hitler. Let's see. Let's take him to a bunker.
This next one is from MG, who is at GregOM10 on the Twitters. He says, why does Adam always sound like he's reading a voiceover script for a soft furnishings advert? Can't be just me who thinks this, can it?
Just say off to Google, writers, soft furnishing adverts.
Good. The only problem with that Ian Botham one is that it makes you think of something else to do with it. Yeah. Anyway, the tweet of the week.
Sorry to interrupt, Kerry.
Yeah.
Listeners, do not Google.
No,
that.
Don't.
Yeah.
The tweet of the week is from Wendy Bradley, who's at Wendy Bradley on the Twitters. She put, this stupid cast is no way to talk about your colleagues, Adam.
Hey.
No laughter, but an A
will
do.
Well done.
As I keep saying, you know, the invitation is open for either of you two to find these tweets.
Well, I've said to Kerry before, and I do apologise to anyone listening, I don't laugh, or I laugh very, very rarely. But inside, it's all unicorns and rainbows. But I'm not... I'm not very effusive with my laughs.
You need to be the reader, Peter, and I laugh all the bloody time. So I think this is a We're doing it the wrong way round.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think you're going to be...
Okay, I'm going to make an executive decision, right? Because Peter, beforehand, I know it was just to wind me up, but before we went on air, you were like, boss this, boss that, you're the big boss man, blah, 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 right? So you do some tweets of the week for next week.
Yay.
Okay, all right, no problem. And
pressure off Auntie Kerry Walker.
Don't you have a special guest on the next podcast?
Oh, crumbs.
Yes, yeah, so I'm being
I should have led
curb.
In with this.
Who
I should have led
us,
in
Roy
with
Field?
This. Right. Oh, yeah. Listener, if you've got this far in the podcast, you'll be pleased to know.
It's a miracle.
To know. Bringing out the big guns next week, we have Sonny Ormond, a.k.a. Lillian Bellamy, is going to be joining us on the podcast. She had that much fun with us on the Friday Zoom. And she said, Roy Field, I'd love to come on your podcast proper. So she's coming on next week. So if you've got a question for our Lillian, best get caller in her in. Get on the old speak pipe put your question. And we're going to have a lot of fun with her.
So presumably, from a selfish point of view, that means Kerry is going to be trying to make Sunny laugh with the tweets next Monday. And the week after, it's my time to shine.
Yes.
Thanks, boss.
Smashing. Dumdydum.com, go there. It's got a shop. It's got awesome things you can do on there. So you can even go onto our shop or our store for our American friends, and you can buy some stuff that comes resplendent with a word, dumdydum. So go on to dumdydum.com. You can also see Cosmo's wonderful podcast roundups and Mike Hatton and his wonderful character counts. One way of helping us out here at the podcast is to either go onto Apple iTunes and to write us a review. Because the more reviews you write, and if you give us a decent rating, it means that we go up those podcast charts. And we got all the way to number 3 about 6 months ago or so. Another way you can help us out is by going onto Patreon and donating $2 per episode. Now, I think you will all kind of worked out that to have podcast sidekicks of this caliber, as my mother would say, doesn't come cheap. So Kerry's got a massive rider. She's got Ian Botham in the corner rubbing her down just before she starts. She gets on the podcast and Mike, Pete insists that we take out all the brown M&Ms out of his out of his bowl before we get started, and other ridiculous peccadillos. So these pair don't come cheap. But on a more serious note, things like SpeakPipe, which is the lifeblood actually of the podcast, isn't for free. So we do have to pay for some stuff around here just to keep the podcast up. Why don't you go onto Patreon and give us $2 per episode, and we'll love you dearly. Also means that you get a ringside seat for future Zoom shows. And just this week, I've had a communication with Sean down at the Archers press office about getting Barry, who plays Ed Grundy, on a Friday Zoom. Emerald, she's going to be back, and Ben Norris. So we're scheduling all of those in now. And I did send off an email to Charles Collingwood saying, mate, let's get you back on. So if you don't give us a couple of dollars per show, and we understand times is hard, there's a global pandemic, there are other priorities in your life, you can still watch these. You can watch them on either Facebook or on the YouTubes, but you just won't be able to get in there with the proper dum-de-dum hoi polloi and ask a question. So there is an inducement, an incentive for you to give us $2 per show.
Remember to get in contact. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website, or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message, or send a text message starting with DUM to 077 862 00690.
Twitter. You know the drill. I say something about Twitter being the lifeblood, being the start, the genus, the point of copulation, where the podcast was sired. You've heard me say it like 300 and odd times. I'll say the same old thing. I'll try and spin it in a different way. But Twitter is rather important to the whole world of dum-de-dum. You get your tweets of the week there. You can also sidle up next to Pete Fickling. Pete Fickling, if people want to find you on Twitter, how do they find you, sir?
Pete Fickling.
Smashing. If you would like to read some rather dry and caustic tweets about the docudrama that we love from our Kerry Warbis, how do they find you on Twitter, Kerry
You'll
Warbis?
You'll never believe this, but it's at Kerry Warbis. But I'm K-E-R-I Warbis, W-A-R-B-I-S.
Smashing. And an alumni of this good parish is Yokel Bear. And I think you should give him some love by going on to Twitter and typing in Yokel Bear. I can be found quite simply at Royfield, and that's R-O-I for India, F-I-E-L-D. Now, Facebook, some people call it one of the most destructive forces in civil society since, I don't know, Hitler, right? He's been mentioned in this podcast. If you want to talk about helping to destroy the commons, the civil space where human beings meet, Mark Zuckerberg's got a thing or two to answer. However, there are some lovely bits of Facebook also, right? And one of those lovely bits is Dum-de-dum. Quite simply, go onto Facebook, go onto the group bit and type in Dum-de-dum. Now, you might see two Dum-de-dums. Do not get confused. The blue one, the one that which is a group, go join that. The group is kind of taking off. It's kind of awesome. It's kind of cool. And the new social media admins are doing their thing over there. Another great place to go is the Flick app. Quite simply, you get your smartphone out and you go onto your app store, type in Flick, download the app. When that downloads, then you type in Dum-de-dum. And then in your pocket at all times, you have a little set of companions like Drew, Stephen Bowden, Melly, Cheryl, all the gang. And they just like talk about stuff on the Flick app. You'll catch me on there too. That's just about me done. I think you've been right royally entertained. You've had the archers dissected. You've had Kerry do her thing. You've had Peter. What did you actually do, Peter?
Witted.
So in conclusion, I put it to my two podcast hosts. Good week, bad week in Ambridge. Auntie Kerry Warburton, what do you reckon?
Oh, it would have been a good week had Adam not appeared.
Concise and on the nose. Peter. Yeah, good week or bad week in Ambridge?
Well, both. It's really, really bad that Linda was in pain, but tremendous acting and, you know, scintillating to listen to. So, yeah, good week.
Smashing. There you had it, folks. It was a good week and it was a bad week. Ta-da a bit.
Bye.
Well done, you bear.